Good morning and happy Father's Day. Thanks, Pat. I was lucky enough to be seated in front of Katrina when the lollies were handed out to hear her declare, "Sugar daddies!" I'm not sure what she was saying about David, but my name's Naomi and it's my privilege to share with you today about Father God. And it was just so beautiful to hear all of those themes woven through what we've already shared this morning together. You know, there's a lot we don't have in common. But as believers, we all have the Father in common. And so we are unified together as we magnify Him and approach Him to understand more about Father God this morning. And we bring the joy and we bring the discomfort and we bring the trauma, and together we magnify God, and we want to be more like Him. We want to be better dads for those of us who have the privilege of being dads. We want to be better mums for those of us who have the privilege of being mums. We want to be better friends and daughters, but actually want to be like Him, because it's transformational to know the Father. So firstly, I know there's discomfort, but I would like people to tell me one good thing about their dad. My dad was really, really good at wrestling. Audrey, what's good about your dad? He always stands out in the crowd. That could be good or bad, depending on where you sit. Elijah? He's smart and funny. You're right, he is. Who else has got something? Arthur? What's good about your dad? One good thing. He tickles your sister. That'd be very funny for you. Who else has something good about their dad? Just call it out. Oh, beautiful. So much time sitting on the end of her bed that her mattress sloped. What else? Call it out, Flory.
My dad was so gentle and loving.
What's great about your dad, guys? Spoils you. JJ. He gobbles treats up. Awesome. Flory, what's good about your dad? He's funny. Oh, it's good. Dad jokes rock. All right. Well, today on Father's Day, we celebrate brave, strong, kind, supporting, loving, playful superhero dads. Dads who, by their investment, pave the way for their children to engage with, trust, understand, and love their Heavenly Father. And we also remember men who long to be a dad. We also remember dads who have lost kids, and we remember people who have lost their dads. We also reflect, many of us, including myself, on neglectful, angry, destructive dads. Dads who inflicted deep wounds on the ones they were entrusted to love. Let's just pause on the first category, the superhero dad category. And I just want to read some words from a song that is often played in our home. It's called Butterfly Kisses by Bob Carlyle. There's two things I know for sure. She was sent here from heaven and she's daddy's little girl. As I drop to my knees by her bed at night, she talks to Jesus and I close my eyes and I thank God for all of the joy in my life, but most of all for butterfly kisses after bedtime prayer, sticking little white flowers all up in her hair. Walk beside the pony, Daddy. It's my first ride. I know the cake looks funny, Daddy, but I sure tried. After all that I've done wrong, I must have done something right to deserve a hug every morning and butterfly kisses at night. Now, my Audrey and her daddy, who's not here today, he's with his family in the UK, but my Audrey and her daddy dance around the house. And Audrey lets her daddy hold her up high and spin her around. And we've got videos of Audrey at every single age dancing to this beautiful song of a daddy delighting in his little girl and a little girl delighting in her father's love. Little girl, teenage woman, one part woman, the other part girl, and then ultimately on her wedding day. And this is a song of a father who looks at his precious girl and he says, "That's my girl." With joy and pride and adoration, "That's my girl." And it's also a song that I hated for most of my life. So trivial, so silly, so immature, so unrealistic. I scoffed at the naivety of my friends who walked down the aisle to this song. Dads don't love like that. Dads don't love like that. I just don't even understand. Why would you choose that song? It's so silly. I just feel embarrassed for you. That was me. And now I'm the woman who delights in my daughter twirling around with her daddy, who adores her. And I learn about Father God by watching my husband. And I have spent 50 years learning about Father God and 50 years recovering from the trauma of a dad who in many ways was not like Father God. But I joy in watching my beautiful girl delighted on by her daddy. And I joy in her just because of who she is. And that is how Father God loves us. So broken was I by my relationship with my earthly father. I couldn't even imagine that kind of father-daughter relationship. I was devastated, and I didn't know it. I mean, I knew it in some ways, but I didn't know the depth to which I was devastated. I also didn't know the depth to which there is healing in the hands of Father God. It is whole. You see, we all have a father-shaped imprint in our hearts. For those who had a good dad or have a great dad, it's really natural for you to transition to your understanding of Father God, a God who delights in you, your champion, your confidant, your helper, your leader, the one who bestows your identity, the one who keeps you safe, provides for you, the one who moves heaven and earth for you, the one who sacrificed his only son for you. And for others, like me, you may need to wrestle toward healing, begging God for restoration of the parts of your heart that have been taken from you, from a complex, shall we say, relationship with your earthly father, struggling toward forgiveness and learning to understand and trust God as Father. God who delights in you, your champion, your confidant, your helper, your leader, the one who bestows identity, who keeps you safe, who provides for you, the one who moves heaven and earth for you, the one who sacrificed his only son for you. Do you know, every night before I went to bed, the last thing I would do as a kid, pretty much my whole childhood, was check every single window and every single lock to make sure that it really, really, really was locked. Because I didn't feel safe. God is the one. God is my Father. He's the one who makes me feel safe. I thought it was quite ironic as I opened the front door this morning and realized I'd left it unlocked all night, even with my husband away. I'm not encouraging that, but I am saying I am secure in my Father God. And I can testify there is a way to healing. There is a path to the Father. There is a path to complete trust in the Father. There is a way to know God and trust God completely through the Son. That's the way, friends, through the Son. Jesus is the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Beautiful. Okay, but where's the destination? Jesus is the way, but to what? Who knows the rest of the story? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Arthur's breaking out into song. All right, but what's the destination? The Father. Who said that? Thank you. The way to the Father. I'm the way. We often stop there. I'm the way, the truth, and life. What an awesome song, right, as Arthur's giving us a demo of. But to what? To the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14, verses 6 and 7. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, this John 14 is one of two chapters that we're going to look at today. John 14 starts out, and it's a passage that I have had the privilege of sharing with people on the precipice of the next life when they're leaving us. Jesus starts by saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if it wasn't true, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you so I can come again and take you to where I'm going. And then he says, you know where I'm going and you know the way. And Thomas says, sorry, Jesus, I actually have no idea where you're going, and I have no idea what the way is. And then Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then he says this, if you really know me, you will know the Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. And actually, I'm just going to go to the passage. Because then Philip pipes up and he says, Lord, show us the Father and that'll be enough for us. After all this, it wasn't just Thomas, it was Philip also saying, but if you could just like maybe kind of show me the Father and that'd be enough, like that's all you need to do. And Jesus says, verse 9, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it's the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. Jesus says, know me, know the Father. I am the way to the Father. Jesus is the way. The Father is the destination. Anyone who knows this knows that this is why we pray to the Father in the name of the Son. Father God, in Jesus' name, amen. We pray to the Father through the Son, in his name. Father is the destination, the Son is the way. Matthew 11, 27, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Do you get it? No one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus is not just the way. He's the only way. He's the only way. There's no other way. John 17, 6 says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of this world. That word revealed is also manifested. I have manifested you. It's a pretty kind of popular word these days to manifest something into being, isn't it? But you get the point. Jesus is saying, I've manifested you to those to whom you gave me out of this world. I have shown you to them. I have revealed you to them. I've manifested you. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can manifest the Father. So there's four things that are the impact or the consequence of knowing Father God. The first is my identity. My identity comes from knowing Father God. I know who I am because I know my Father. The second is my home. I have a home in heaven because of my Father. The third is my security. I am totally secure because I know my Father. Fourth is my purpose. I know my purpose because I know the Father. Firstly, my identity. I know who I am and whose I am because of my Father. Do you know a father in a family provides an identity? He provides genetics, of course. 50% of us are all made up from our father. He provides personality. He provides cultural, social, economic, and ethnic background. He provides a name. Coates, the Coates kids are son of Chris Coates and daughter of Chris Coates. You know where somebody belongs, you know who their father is by just hearing their name. That's a Coates kid. I choose that name because it's mine for the people who don't know us. Do you know the genealogy in the Bible is all via the son of? We're all identified by our father. Genesis 5 covers Abraham to Noah. Genesis 11 covers Noah to Abraham. Oh, that is not right. Genesis 11 does not cover Noah to Abraham. Oh, no, sorry. I said it wrong. Genesis 5 covers Adam to Noah. There we go. Nobody picked that up. Thanks. Adam to Noah. Noah to Abraham in Genesis 11. And then Matthew 1, Abraham to Jesus. All via son of. Everyone identified by their father. Everyone identified by their father. All of us, most of us, surnames from their father, identified by their father. Williamson, son of William. Johnson, son of John. Ferguson, son of Fergus. Nicholson, son of Nicholas, somewhere along the line. My right to be a citizen of the UK come from my paternal line. My dad is a UK citizen. If it was my mum or my grandma, I may not be able to be a citizen. But because my dad is, I have a little pink passport. My father provides my identity. My father provides my personal identity. My emotional and my mental health, my self-esteem and my confidence, they come from my dad in the main part. My self-awareness, which impacts my emotional development, comes from my dad in the main part. Mum has a huge role. I'm not trivializing that, but dad's role is huge. My social awareness, my ability and confidence in entering friendships and adjusting socially comes from my dad in the main part. Anyone know the origin of Gen X, of which I am one? Anyone know where Gen X came from? Anyone sort of have an idea or a guess at what the X might mean? So Gen X was actually used in the 1950s originally to talk about a generation of war kids. You know, the children born in war, and they have this kind of feeling of uncertainty and pessimism and lack of anchor. And then it became applied to my generations, typically 1965 to 1975-ish. And it's the X, which is, you know, the X and Y from algebra. X can mean anything. It's sort of unhinged from anything. Whatever you want to apply to X is fine. And isn't it telling that my generation, a little unhinged from the generation before, a little unhinged from their fathers, a little kind of anything you want it to be, a disillusioned generation, unhinged and disconnected from our fathers, alienated, lacking identity, lacking social norms, whatever you say you want to be is fine. I tell you what, my Father God provides my identity. Who am I? I'm a child of the mighty King, the creator of the universe. Whose am I? I'm His. I was bought at a price. I'm loved. I am treasured. I am known and still I'm loved, despite all my failings. I'm God's girl, God's son. I could be called Naomi, God's daughter. In Iceland, they name according daughter of. I could be Naomi, God's daughter. Do you know that God often renames his kids? Abram means exalted father, became Abraham, father of many nations. Sarai means my princess, became Sarah, the princess. Saul means asked for. The answer to my prayers is Saul, right? Saul is the one I've asked for. Became Paul, humble. Naomi, my sweetness, my pleasantness, became Mara, my bitterness. And actually, you know what the Bible calls her? Naomi, my sweetness. Father God gives me my identity. Secondly, Father God gives me my home. I have a home in heaven because of my Father. Do you remember what John 14 said? Don't be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you can be also. Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is not in my little pink passport. It's in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, we have an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Heaven is my true home.
Earlier this year, Chris and I went on a holiday, and while I was away, I read the book by John Burke, and I commend it to you. He's a Christian theologian who became fascinated by near-death experiences and has written unashamedly from a Christian worldview this book called Imagine Heaven, Near-Death Experiences, God's Promises and the Exhilarating Future That Awaits You. John Burke, Imagine Heaven, Near-Death Experiences, God's Promises and the Exhilarating Future That Awaits You. And he interviewed a series of people who had near-death experiences of all religions, of all backgrounds, and he identified common themes with the God of the Bible and their experiences in their near-death exposure, identified one God full of love, a place that felt more home than anywhere else they'd ever experienced, a place more alive than anything they'd ever experienced on earth. I commend it to you. Heaven is my true home. Thirdly, the third benefit I get from knowing my Father is my security. I am totally secure because I know my Father. My security is in Him. I've learned that I can trust my Heavenly Father, my security, my identity, my home, my everything. This is the end of striving. This is the babe in arms, staring at her or his daddy, just delighting in her or his daddy, just playful. It's the babe that everyone stares at, thinking at them, look at them. They're just unaware of all the chaos around because they're in their daddy's arms. That's all that matters. The chaos around doesn't matter. That babe could be us in the arms of our Father. Chaos all around, absolutely. In the arms of our Father, absolutely, totally secure. It's Audrey dancing around the house to butterfly kisses, knowing that every time her dad picks her up and spins her around, he's going to catch her. Total security in the arms of her Father. Matthew 10, 29 to 31 says this. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. Two for one, right? Two birds for a cent. You get two sparrows for one penny. But not one of them falls to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth much more than many sparrows. John 14:1, we started with it. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Totally secure in every part of your life. Friends, do you know there's no security anywhere else? No security anywhere else apart from God's arms. The more financially secure you get, the more you realize how insecure you are. Every relationship ends in death or separation. The only one that survives is our relationship with Father God, who comes to us, grabs our hand in this earth, and walks us into the next life with Him, secure forever. Fourthly, my purpose. I know my purpose because I know my Father. My purpose is to please Him. Father God, the hands that flung stars into space, we're reminded of this morning. The greatest Father, God above gods, capital G God above lowercase g gods, my provider, the lover of my soul, the one who says, circumcise your heart, don't let anything come between us, the lover of my soul, who wants my heart uncircumcised before Him. He goes behind me and before me. He is my safe place. He knows every hair on my head, every desire of my heart. He alone has walked with me through all that I have endured, carried me, strengthening me. He alone is my healer. He alone is the one who has restored to me all the years the locusts have eaten, John Joel 2:25 is the cry of my heart as a young woman. God, would you please restore to me the years the locusts have eaten? I tell you what, he has restored to me so much more, because his healing is complete and his blessings are overwhelming. His love replaced my calloused and broken heart with one that is soft and tender and receptive. He alone has taught me to trust him, to receive his love, and to love others unreservedly. And he has blessed me beyond measure. And a father like this makes me want to please him in my actions, in my attitude, in my desires, with the matters of my heart and with my choices. I want to please him. Jesus lived to please his Father. John 4:34. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. The thing that satisfies me is to please God. John 8:29. And he who sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I will always do what is pleasing to him. So the four things, the four consequences of knowing Father God. 1, our identity, my identity. 2, my home. 3, my security. And 4, my purpose. I know who I am and whose I am because I know the Father. I have a home in heaven because of my Father. I am totally secure because I know my Father. And I know my purpose is to please my Father. A moment for the dads, and then a moment for the kids. A moment for the dads. Take a moment for honest reflection about your relationship with your children. How are you doing? Are you loving? Do you know that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things? Are you patient? Are you building them up, teaching them, rebuking them, correcting them, enabling them and equipping them, readying them for independence from you? Do you delight in your children? Do you pause to show them how much joy they bring you just by being who they are? Not by performing, just because of who they are. Are you paving the way for their hearts to naturally connect with Father God? Are you healed? Have you invested the time and emotional energy and money, let's be honest, when you need to go and see a psychologist? Time, energy, and money to process your own father-shaped wound, freeing you to parent differently than the way your father parented you? Or do you have more work to do? Friends, there is healing in the arms of the Father, and Jesus is the way. Now, a moment for the kids. And that means all of us, because we're all his kids. Come to the Father through Jesus. We all need our dad, Father God. Even Jesus cried out to his heavenly Father for help. We are invited to intimate, rich, healing, whole relationship with Father God. I read before from Matthew 11:27. I'm going to read the verse that comes after it. Matthew 11:27 said, it'll be familiar, no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Listen to the next verse and tie it together. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are you tired? Are you weary? Are you beaten down? Come to your Father. Are you sad? Are you depressed? Are you broken? Are you financially burdened? Are you distracted? Come to the Father. Come home to the Father. Come to Father God, Heavenly Father, Abba, Daddy. Snuggle in, press into his arms. Be that babe in arms, knowing that your Father has it, pressing ever closer until the peace that passes understanding washes over you despite the chaos all around. He is gentle. He is humble. He is the place of ultimate security and love, the place of rest. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. His way is best, right, perfect. Come to the Father through the Son. Come to Father God through Jesus, and there you will find your soul's rest. Let me pray. Father God, on this Father's Day, we just thank you for the gift of fathers around us. Thank you for our fathers. Thank you for the things that they've taught us. Thank you for the ways that they have driven us to our knees to beg for you, Lord. Thank you for the way, good and bad, that they magnify you in our lives, Father God. Thank you that the path to you is clear through your Son. I pray, Father, that today you will be magnified in our hearts, in our minds, as we go about our celebrations of Father's Day. I pray that we will focus on our identity in you, our home in you, our security in you, and our purpose to please you. We thank you that we know you. Help us know you more. We thank you that we love you. Help us love you more and to receive from you the love that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.